podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to
tell? Come after the ball.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and 107.1 KFGD, St. Louis, Missouri. OldiesXL.com and Philadelphia.com. This is going to be a good show. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. XRPradio.co.uk, who just finished up 80 straight hours of live radio as we're beginning this show. They are in Scotland. And on the beaches of San Diego, California, we have RudaRuRadio.com. And then right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, BuildASCene.com/radio. This is episode number 646 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight are John Vento and Joe. Joe, I should have asked you how to say your last name.
Waterick.
Waterick.
Yes.
And These two gentlemen are here to talk about an album and concert that are about to happen. It is a very Yinzer Christmas. And if you are not from the Pittsburgh area, you may not know what a Yinzer is. But you may be looking at three of them. So let's start off with, first of all, what is a very Yinzer Christmas? I don't, whoever wants to go into the details.
I'm going to let Joe get things started. Cause really, you know, it was his concept, and then he can tell you how I got involved with it. So Joe, give you the history. Hit it, Joe.
Well, I'm glad you're a Yinzer, Bill. I didn't know that getting on here. Yeah.
I
feel
much better about this. I live in Leechburg, so
there you go.
It's not that far from Pittsburgh.
Well, if you're not from Pittsburgh, that's what we call Pittsburghers, or Yinzers. And what this project is, a very Yinzer Christmas, it's all of the Pittsburgh musicians in our area, and it spans generations, probably over the last 50 years of musical acts that have really made a footprint in the Pittsburgh area. I wish we had enough room for 100 tracks because there's so many great artists that come out of Pittsburgh. What we did is we tried to pull as many as we could together, and some of my favorites and a lot of people's favorites are on here. And what it is, it's an album of Christmas songs. And you'll see everything from doo-wop to rock to, country. I mean, just everything in between.
Hip-hop,
yeah. I mean, it's just a great collection of Pittsburgh artists doing your favorite Christmas songs. There's 26 tracks on here, which is really special. And the best part about it is not only do you have all these great artists, and I'm talking folks like the Skyliners, who you guys all sure probably remember from Since I Don't Have You, to the Clarks, which is Scott Blasey, and he's had so many hits over the years, Bill Deasy, Johnny Angel and the Halos, Jeff Jimerson, who everyone knows from singing the national anthem at all the Penguin games, Donnie Iris, who's just the greatest Yinzer of all, and just the list goes on and on and on.
I have a quick Donnie story.
Go for it.
So I've never actually spoken to Donnie, and I was at Jurgles one day, and Donnie was there, and he walked past me like 10 times, and I never stopped him and said hello. So Donnie, I kind of met you.
And I'm sure if you would have said hello, he would have had a 10-minute conversation with you.
He's a good dude.
Absolutely. So not only did we capture all these great performers doing the Christmas songs, we pulled together the best Yinzer band around, which was a lot of different musicians throughout the years that are just so talented. And not only is it a recording, but there's also a live show tied to it. That's going to happen December 7th at the Carnegie of Homestead Music Hall. And it's just going to be an unbelievable event. But the very, very best is everything that we do. All proceeds benefit Band Together Pittsburgh. And John can tell you more about Band Together.
Yeah, I guess that's quite an intro. Thank you, Joe. Well, Bill, you know Band Together, and your audience probably doesn't. So simply put, it's an organization that creates music programs for people on the autism spectrum. And those programs range from DJ training to live engineering and sound to live performances to drum circles and anything and everything that has to do with music for people on the autism spectrum. And you know, when Joe brought this vision, and really he's the driving force behind it. I want to make that real clear. He has worked his butt off to make this happen and coordinate it. And he's been at every recording session, has been producing it. But it's an honor for us to be a part of it. He brought the idea to us at Band Together Pittsburgh, and it was a no-brainer, especially since six of our performers are on the album and will be featured at the concert. So we're going to show the world how beautifully talented people on the spectrum are and how important music is. I mean, music's important to all of us, but I have to tell you, if you're on the autism spectrum, it means even more. It really does.
So Joe said something that popped, like clicked a question in my head. So, or actually John said it about Joe. He said that you were at all the recording sessions. Where did you manage to record all those tracks with all these, you know, artists have their own favorite places. How did you get them to agree to go to one place?
Well, I'll tell you, and that's the crazy thing. It happened at Innovation Studios, and my good friend Mike Ofka, who owns Innovation Studios, is also, I've played in music with him for the last, I don't know how many years. I don't want to remember that long, but we've been together for a very long time musically. And it was just, we've done other projects there before. And that's actually how I met John, through a different project that we put together for charity. And Mike, you know, he took on the daunting task of allowing us to utilize his talents in studio. And the amazing thing about this, there's 26 songs. If we scheduled it out, it's truly, but per day, it's about a 2 week span that we recorded all these songs. And then once we did that, the mixing and mastering took another, I think, 3 weeks or 2 weeks. So the project as a whole was done in under a month. And that's from, you know, nuts and bolts. I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing accomplishment. So kudos to everyone involved.
Yeah, Mike Ofka is he's a real superstar in this project, along with Joe. And of course, Joe put together a heck of a house band, or we call them the Yinzer Band. So, you know, Bill, the key to this was that there were some bands that actually recorded their own songs. Like, you know, when we did our Needs Hotel Band track, I brought in my guys to Mike's studio. But majority of these songs were recorded with the Yinzer House Band, the studio band. And those cats had to really, they had to have the chops and the dedication and the, you know, just the fortitude to have these long sessions. I mean, you can imagine, you know, to get this all done in a very short period of time. It's tricky.
Yeah, Bill, we were doing two-a-days. So it was like the first band would come in at 10 a.m. They do their song, and then the next group would come in at 3. So that was the thing, really. The singers would come in at 10 and 3, and we'd lay down their tracks, do everything we need to do, and then move on to the next one. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work, but my gosh, did we have a lot of laughs and really get to know everyone. One of the greatest things behind the scenes is the music community, how tight we've all become because of this. And that was a great thing that none of us thought about until after the fact.
Two days has a negative connotation for me. So I was glad to hear something good.
Why, were you a football player?
I was, John.
Okay. I figured that.
Those are not fun days.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Musically, it was fun.
I think I would prefer to be involved in recording music for twice a day instead of practicing twice a day.
Yeah. Well, these were, and you know this, Bill, because you've been in this game a long time, as Joe and I have. You know, a lot of people don't realize how much work, or we call it grinding, you know, to create music in the studio. I heard an interesting interview the other day when Springsteen was recently interviewed on Howard Stern, and they were talking about that famous sax solo, you know, that Clarence Clemons did in Jungleland. And the legend has it was a 16-hour session. And Howard Stern said, well, how do you get a guy to grind for 16 hours with very few breaks? And Bruce said, it's simple. You have to have musicians that have nothing else to do. He said, those are my guys. They have no other life but music. And really, I think during this three-week period, the guys that Joe assembled had no other life except this project. Right, Joe?
Oh, my God.
It was that simple.
Yeah. But, you know, the amazing part is the band itself. You had guys like Rick Witkowski, who – everyone knows from his days with D.E. Taylor. He's recorded. So I had four studio owners in the band. So Ricky owns his own place called Studio L. Mike Ofka owns his place, Innovation Studios. I had Jamie Peck, who owns his studio, Peck Productions. And then Dan Bozak, Aardvark Studios. So he had four big hitters in the band. Plus, we had horn sections, backup singers. I mean, you name it, we put out all the stops to make this the best it could possibly be. And having that kind of talent in one room and watching them interact, and even the respect that went back and forth, because if you do music and you know music, whether you're a novice or you're highly experienced, you sit there and you have a thought in your mind and you so badly want it heard, and you have to pick and choose your battles and when to say it. These guys, it was like they were all on the same page, and it was just a beautiful experience. So the songs really speak for themselves how well they did.
So how many people total were involved in this project?
How about the camera people every day at the studio? Got to throw them in, right?
Yeah.
The band, you know, Moondog came down. The band had what, about 10 musicians?
Well, yeah, we had two, Matt Branty on guitar and Mike on guitar, Ricky on guitar, Dan Buzek on bass, Greg McElroy on drums.
And another drummer. Yeah, the other drummer.
Larry Schotter on drums. Yeah. The Kerrs, Eric Kerr and Marlene Kerr and Julie Walsh on backup vocals. The Soulville Horns on the horn section.
We're fast approaching 40 people.
And that's just the musicians.
Those are the musicians. It's singers and players.
Right.
Yeah.
And then some brought their own bands, like John brought the Needs Hotel band in. So
Johnny Angel came in with his band.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's an amazing. And then not just that, but then the mastering person and mixing. And so we probably, I never thought, that's a great question, Bill. I would say easily 100 people in the production of the recording, without a doubt.
With all the different bands and all their players.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's easily 100.
And all of those people were dedicated to raising the money for Band Together.
Yeah.
Which is
absolutely. We did compensate the studio and obviously the studio work and the mastering, but all those bands and singers, none of them were compensated. So it was wonderful.
And that's something I've said since day one that, and Joe doesn't know this. I don't know how to play anything. Nothing.
Neither do I. So that's why you and I get along so well.
But the scene when I started, I started out doing websites for bands, and it has morphed into, I do pretty much everything media wise. I do concert photography, promotional photography, websites, EPKs, podcasting, radio.
Love.
So everything that's on the, everything that doesn't include playing, I can do. But what I've always loved about this scene is the willingness of the artists to help raise money for a good cause. And that was what I was trying to point out. It's constant.
We are blessed, aren't we, in this community, guys?
Absolutely.
We have a lot of really, not beyond the talent, and Bill, I was a late bloomer to this thing too. Joe's been performing since he was a teenager, but when I started working with Buddy Hall, and he would bring in guys like Reb Beach and Kenny Blake and Tommy Bellin and Pete Hewlett, and Joe Monroe, who just toured the world with the Rolling Stones, they were the finest musicians and the nicest people. I found that those great talented guys are so much easier to work with. And sometimes people that think they're fantastic are the biggest jerks, So that's the experience we had. Am I right, Joe? Everybody was wonderful.
Everyone was great. And it is, we would have never been able to lift this off the ground without the support of Band Together. But it just, everyone really brought their A game and did the best work possible. And, they also have to agree to rehearsals and come into a live show. And that's a lot to ask. And they're all on board. It's just a great project.
Let's talk a little bit about that live show. You said it was December 7th.
Mm-hmm.
The historic Carnegie. What is the official name? I call it the Carnegie Music Hall. But Joe, the library at Carnegie Homestead?
Carnegie of Homestead Music Library.
Okay, Carnegie of Homestead Music Library. Okay, there you go, Bill.
I'm sorry, Carnegie of Homestead Music Hall.
Music Hall. Okay, yeah. I was gonna say.
Yeah, library didn't work.
That's right.
So if I remember correctly, tickets are $20 in advance and $30 at the door, correct?
There won't be any door. We are just about sold out.
All right, so
thanks for the support of 3WS Radio, you know, the Christmas station here in Pittsburgh, 94.5 FM. How'd that sound?
It sounded good. It sounded like you did that before.
Thanks.
But there are a few left, right? So they can go to the website and
yes, there is. Online. There's a few left. Yeah.
And it's Yinzer.
Yinzer Christmas.
Yinzer Christmas. YinzerChristmas.com.
Right. YinzerChristmas.com. So
yep.
And the doors for that are, is it doors are at 6:30 or is that the concert starts at 6:30?
Doors are at 6:30. 6:30 and the concert starts at 7:30.
Okay. All right. So now we're gonna move into some of those questions that John knows is coming and he's patiently waiting Joe to hear them.
I feel like I'm entering something scary.
Yeah, Joe, you're in trouble now, man.
All right, so I'm going to start out with a question that's fairly new, so John probably hasn't heard this one, but it's not a hard one. What is the best pizza that you've had because you're a musician? So either in the studio, on your way to a gig, at a gig, on your way home from a gig, best pizza you've ever had in those type of scenarios.
Joe, you get to go first.
Okay, so it's double-edged because it was always my favorite, but it became our stopping place. I would tour a lot with the band, the Stickers, and when we would get done and we know we'd have to leave, or if we do a show in Pittsburgh and know we had to leave that night, Fury's Pizza on Capitol was always open till 3 a.m. And the only pizza shop around open to 3 a.m. So it'd be a quick stop by Fury's, put it in the bus and roll. And that's how it works. That's why Fury's is my favorite.
He beat me to the punch. They're open late. It's great, great food. And any gigs were out in that direction. It was the go-to. Fiori's.
I even gave a shout out and Baby It's Cold Outside at the end of it. I give Fiori's a shout out.
Do you really?
Yeah. It's a Yinzer thing.
Yeah, that was the place. Bill, you gave us a hanging curveball on that one.
All right. So that was an easy one.
Yeah, it was. Truly was.
So this one is more about originals that you guys have written. So you're both going to have to answer it separately and you definitely won't overlap.
We won't.
So there's an apocalyptic event and it wipes out the majority of the humans on Earth. So there's a handful of humans left. And all but one song from every band. So I need to know a song that you've written that would help repopulate the earth. And you can read into that however you would like.
Oh, man. I would rather put on my Marvin Gaye hat or to put on my let's all love one another hat here. Wow.
But it's one of our songs, right? It's one of the
one that you've written. Or been a part of writing.
Okay.
Or performing.
Well, while he's thinking, I don't write many love songs. And the Needs Hotel band has really a great original called I Love You. What a original title. But the composition is very, very original. And it has a beautiful sax line. And it's sensual. And it's it would help populate the planet. I'm confident of that. Not quite, you know, a Marvin Gaye thing, but maybe a close second. So it'll be called by the Needs Hotel Band, I Love You.
I'll take mine in a completely different direction. So I have a song, it's called I'm Going Between Two. But you know what? Because this interview is about this, I'll go back to Stand Together. It's a song that I wrote after the Tree of Life tragedy that happened in Pittsburgh. And I had 40 Pittsburgh singers sing on the song. It was a beautiful moment. And that's what I'll go with because it was such an inspirational song. But at the same time, if I went to repopulate the world, the few people that would left would be like, that's the guy who wrote it. And I'd be like, how you doing? So that's what
And it is a beautiful song. It's a great song.
Okay. So you're leaving a gig and you notice a DeLorean sitting outside with its door open and a flux capacitor in the back seat.
Yes.
What time are you going to go back to, and what band are you going to hang out with? See, now he's starting to figure out that.
Well, yeah. Joe, I'm going to answer. 1958, Buddy Holly and the Crickets. It is a no-brainer, and I would. Oh my goodness, I dream about that. I've seen the Buddy Holly movie 1,000 times, and I would go back to 1958 to see Buddy Holly.
Man,
sorry, buddy.
No, that's
you weren't going to say that, were you?
No, I wasn't going to say Buddy Holly. No.
Okay.
You know, I'd probably go back to the days when Jackson Browne lived below Glenn Frey, and I'd wanna hang out with Jackson Browne because he was just so cool, and he was always writing, always looking for people to write with, and to be able to sit in that seat, I think would be pretty awesome.
Good answer, man.
Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna ask one more question, then we're gonna have Joe talk about his song "That Silent Night," and then we'll take a break. Okay, so I usually have to explain who this person is, but I have a feeling I won't have to. So Robert Johnston was rumored to have disappeared from the scene for over a year, come back, and be a great guitarist.
Right.
My question is, if you were standing at that crossroads waiting for the devil to show up, what are you there to sell your soul for musically?
I don't think I'd be doing it. I don't think I'd sell my soul at this point.
Yeah, but you've got to answer that. Of course you wouldn't do it, but come on, give the guy a break. He asked a good question.
Here, I can reword it if you'd like.
Well, if, not saying you would.
Musically, what would I sell it for, huh? I would say to either be like the Kenny Rogers of his time or the Eagles of their time. One of the two. Arenas, night after night, craziness. That's what I would do. That arena tour. Sold out.
Wow. Yeah. First of all, I love Jesus, so I would never sell my soul to the devil. Right. Let me make that clear. But if that came along, I would want, you know, a voice with a higher, much higher range to be able to sing like some of my all-time favorite pop singers, like Elton John and Billy Joel. I don't care if it's at Moondogs. I'd be happy at Moondogs. You know, I would say you love to use that voice standing outside a Best Buy in Monroeville, you know, panhandling, but just to have that voice, that's what I would love to have.
So you guys figured out what I was asking.
Well, absolutely.
You know, what is something?
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I have to make the questions interesting.
So that Robert Johnston thing, so they claim he disappeared right at the crossroads and he made a deal with the devil and came back to be this great blues guitarist. That's the story, right?
Right. Yes.
That legend has it. Was he a performer prior to making the deal with the devil? Because I don't really know the details of his career.
Supposedly, he would show up at other people's gigs, and when they would take their breaks, he would go up and try and play, and they would chase him out of the bars because he wasn't any good.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, if you think about even like, you know, he was going for over a year. The man practiced.
Sure. He was grinding. Yeah. Yeah. You can get better if you work at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's no fun in that question if you do.
Right. Yeah. Who wants to think of that? The work.
All right, Joe. So this is like an MTV storyteller's moment for you.
Okay.
So tell me a story about That Silent Night.
That Silent Night. So originally, every year I would, for a radio station, I'd have to do a Christmas song. And every year it was something different. And then I had a really good friend who, his name is Jay McKnight, who I've played a lot of music with and written a lot with in the past. And he'd always challenge me and say, man, do something that means something. Quit writing songs about Santa Claus. Write something that means something. So I said, all right, man, we'll do that. So we sat down and we did. We wrote the song together. And I've always loved the song. And it was one of those ones that's it just tells a great story and just has a good vibe to it and a good feel. But then when we went to do this project, there are so many great singers on it. And one of my favorites of all time is Pete Hewlett. And if you don't know Pete, Pete sang with Billy Joel for years. He was his backup singer. If you watch the Live at Shea Stadium concert, you'll see Pete, and you know, sitting there singing all his backup songs. And he's just a tremendous, tremendous talent. Him and Jeff Jimerson. And Jeff is, if you ever watched a Penguin game, he's the guy who sings the national anthem before it all. And Jeff's had a great career as well throughout the music industry. So when it came down to it, I said, oh, I'm going to record this, but I don't want just me to do it. I want to share their voices because they're so, so wonderful. So the three of us kind of made it a moment that each one of us took a line of the verse and we all sang together on the choruses and just really made it special and delivered the song in a way that the lyrical content talks about how things were and how things are and how we behave. And to have it from three different people, it really drove the message home. So I thought it turned out great. It was beautiful.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to that Silent Night off of Very Yinzer Christmas. And we'll be right back.
Christmas lights in shopping malls, shiny boxing soccer balls, even back before electricity. Things were much more simple then. I wish I could go back again and celebrate the way it's meant to be. To gather round that firelight and read about that holy night. Get on their knees and pray and wait for Christmas Day. They read the Bible, they knew the story, the birth of Jesus in all his glory, and the angels all sang hallelujah, and the shepherds knelt to pray in fields on high. They knew the story of that silent night. Whole family made it home this year. It's time to spread the Christmas cheer. Everybody's helping trim the tree. Mama's cooking's in the air, still snowing and no one cares. We're all going to church on Christmas Eve. And we'll gather round that firelight, tell stories and sing silent night. Get on our knees and pray and wait for Christmas Day. We'll read the Bible, we'll tell the story. In all his glory, and the angels all sang hallelujah, and the shepherds knelt to pray in fields on high. They knew the story of that silent night. In all his glory, and the angels all sang hallelujah, and the shepherds knelt to pray in fields on high. They knew the story of that silent night. They knew the story of that silent night.
Hey, that was That Silent Night off of Variants of Christmas. Don't forget to, there's a few tickets left, yinzerchristmas.com, for the December 7th show. And as I said before, we listened to the song. You can go download the 26-track album at yinzerchristmas.com as well. With me tonight are Joe and John, who are both featured on the album. And if you're just tuning in, you missed us talk about the album. So again, yinzerchristmas.com will fill you in on that. And now I'm going to ask them some more fun questions that Joe's not ready for. John's been on a couple of times.
but Bill, these are all new questions. So give me a little bit of credit for being on my game tonight, okay? You know, you're kind of like insinuating that, you gave me a little warning on these questions, which you did not.
I did not, but no. you have an idea of what to expect.
I don't. Joe does not. Was that 1958, you know, Buddy Holly and the Crickets? I think he slipped them a note. I don't know.
No, he did.
All right. So, Kiss is played in a bay in Australia to great white sharks, and Metallica has played in Antarctica. What non-standard venue would you like to play at?
Wow.
But basically, you can pick wherever you want.
That's a tricky one there.
Man, you're deep, Bill. Either that or you're on controlled substances. One of the two. I don't know which it is.
My life is asking questions. I'm a teacher.
My answer is going to be just so provincial, but I will tell you this, and I don't know if it's if it qualifies. I had this whole vision of putting my band on a flatbed tractor trailer and driving around the city. And the guys backed out of me because they were afraid of equipment falling off the truck, or, you know, it was a moving thing. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. I mean, that's not a cool place, like, you know, Antarctica, but
it's also not standard.
It's not standard. And I had the whole thing lined up, and I had the whole concept, and I had a guy with a truck and a generator, and I couldn't get the musicians to do it, but yeah, it was a moving truck.
That's awesome. That'd be fun.
I think it would have been, but
let's do it, John.
You and I'll do it, Joe, and we'll get the band. Yeah, so man. What's your answer?
Man, that's a really, really hard one. The only thing that I can think of, I've always wanted to play, like, I love being on the water and being on a boat. I've always wanted to play, like, on a pontoon boat, just in the middle of the lake, and just have a great time doing that. I think that would be incredibly fun. And at the end of the show, instead of the mic drop, I just fall in the water.
Love it.
What's an embarrassing moment you've had while performing?
You don't have enough time for me.
Gosh, I'll tell you one time I got a knot in my calf. You ever get a horse knot? You know, they call them growing pains. In the middle of a song.
Ooh.
That's horrible. But I was playing down Three River Stadium, Heinz Field, now Acrisure Stadium, playing down there for the 4th of July. And I see someone going, and I'm like, what the heck are they saying? And again, I see, which translated to, your zipper is down. And the guitar player turns to me, he goes, dude, your zipper's down. I'm like, and you just turn around and everyone sees you. Zip. You turn back around. Hey. That was pretty bad. I heard about that for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna top you on that one. At the old spare room, Joe's heard this story. The old spare room, you guys are too young to remember this venue. It was in the North Hills, and it had a staircase, a long staircase that went down. So when you booked a gig there, you got Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night because of the load in and the load out.
So you gave you the whole weekend.
The whole weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, we didn't get the whole weekend. I got actually three quarters of one set, and the owner came and said, look, if you stop right now, I'll give you your full pay for tonight, but you have to leave. He said, you're going to ruin my – this was a long time ago, thank goodness. But he said, you're going to ruin my weekend. You're so bad. Wow. You and the band are so bad. Yeah. So later that evening, as we load out our equipment, you know, with our tail between our legs, a bunch of my friends came, and we all went out to get something to eat. And they were saying, you know, we didn't like those guys anyhow. And I said, why? He said, because when we went to pay the cover, the guy at the door said, this band is so bad, we should pay you to come in here.
Wow.
So there you go. That's embarrassing. Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that would have been 1986, 1987. Wow. Oh, I've got – we don't have time. I have – I why I'm still in music, well, I have one person who encouraged me, my uncle Anthony. Our whole family, my mother's whole family, are primarily musicians or gamblers or both. And my uncle kept saying, you just started later than everybody else. And you've got to learn the craft. You have to work at it. You know, even though you're – you know, 30 years old and you're trying to sing Billy Joel songs and you don't have the voice. And then I'll just finish the story. I quit in 1989, as I rightfully should. And then about 5 years later, a friend of mine, Billy Hibbert, he was a guy from Kentucky that lived in Pennsylvania. And he called me out of the blue and he said, Johnny, I got some original songs. I'd like to record them with you singing. And I said, Bill, why do you want me? I suck. And he said something I'll never forget. He goes, well, yeah, you do suck trying to sound like Billy Joe or those guys, but maybe if you sounded like yourself, you wouldn't suck as much. Right? What was he saying? Original music.
Yeah.
Have your own voice. And that was just a rebirth for me to get back involved with music. And I'll always thank Billy for that. He's a dear brother of mine. Love him dearly. So anyhow, happy ending.
So Joe, he kind of covered a question I was going to ask later.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. You just don't have to answer it now. Just Joe.
Okay.
Who would you say was the most influential in you becoming a musician?
Oh, you know, I grew up in a family where we all stunk at sports. I mean, we weren't bad. We were bad. It's true. That's funny. I had a cousin who was going to play professional baseball. So my mother was his godmother. She says, take them down to the field and teach them how to play baseball. So he takes us down the field. He comes back. I just remember him looking at my mom going, Kath, it's not going to happen. It's just so in my house, yes. When you grew up, it wasn't what sport you're going to play. It's what instrument you're going to play. So wow. I grew up in a family that really embraced music and the arts and the expression through music. So I have to give to my mom and dad. I mean, they laid the foundation. I tell the story all the time that I'll never forget the one day, you know, we would practice in my basement and the drums, the bass, everything, it'd be going and the PA was loud. So I run upstairs to grab something and my mom and my dad are sitting in the living room and I look up at them and they're both reading the paper, but I see the lamp just bouncing. Like this at that moment. And they're both smiling. And I'm thinking, yeah. Oh my God, they love us. You know, because who would put up with that and encourage it? They did. So definitely.
Yeah. My mother, God bless them.
Yeah. My brother and I were very much I played in my lifetime. I've played organized soccer, baseball, football, lacrosse, and deck hockey.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know how to play any instruments.
Right.
Now my kids, my son plays the trumpet. He is in the Mon Valley Junior Stage Band, which you have to first be recommended by a music teacher, and then you have to audition. That's and awesome. As a freshman this year, there was in the trumpet section there were two freshmen, and he played the first seat.
Well, that's great.
Everybody else is older than him. He also is the brass lead at his high school as a freshman.
Wow.
He is in the Kiske Valley Community Band. He also can play, taught himself how to play the fife. He can play the harmonica. He's taught himself how to play the piano. My daughters play the clarinet and the flute. All three of them sing. In fact, they just got home from choir practice.
God bless them.
So, wow. So my family is much like Joe's, except I don't really know where it came from because I was the sports guy.
Yeah. Your wife. It came from your wife.
Well, she was a color guard. Had to. She was in the color guard. Does that count?
There you go. Well, it's close. Color guard.
I think instrument, maybe,
same thing.
I think maybe part of it, like, we were still doing live bands here in the living room in the PA Rock Show when Aiden was little.
Right.
And not once the girls were born, that stopped, though. Because Aiden was 26 months old when I had twin daughters. And
oh, my.
So we stopped doing the live thing here in the living room for, well, forever. Because we had a 26-month-old and newborn twins.
Yeah. But, good reason. It's a very good reason.
But, you know, they've been their whole lives, they've seen me working with local musicians.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that had a little bit to do with it.
Absolutely.
More than a little. Yeah.
And Bria, who is, well, clearly one of my daughters, is really into the local scene now. She has a favorite band, Blackridge. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Yeah. You know, I'm hearing so much about those guys.
They
just had a big CD release party.
They did. I caught the last four songs. I didn't get the beginning because I was at my daughter's musical. I had waited for the musical to end. And then I made the drive from, the middle school in Lower Borough to In Stuff Music in 14 minutes. It's a 21-minute drive, and I spent 4 minutes on the bridge.
Yeah.
So I was moving. Don't tell anybody.
Joe, do you know those guys, Blackridge?
I don't, unfortunately.
Look them up. They got their singers dynamic. They're all young, right? I mean, Bill, what do you think? They're all in their 20s, maybe?
They're probably 30s.
Okay, they're babies to a guy like me. But, the singer's got a heck of a voice. And they put on a great show, and it's original music. I guess they're hard rockers, right? I mean, but they got a groove to them.
They're kind of. It's hard to explain. Like, they're definitely rock, but then they kind of like they have a sax player, they have keyboards.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of funky. It's kind of bluesy. Sometimes it's kind of jazzy, but it's rock. Like,
sure. They're really original.
They're a lot of fun. They're interactive. They set instruments out on the stage and immediately invite the people that are there to come play along with them. That's how they won Bria over. Bria played the bongos for a set with them.
Yeah.
That's great.
They're fun. And they're again, very, that they are constantly raising money in the local scene, which we've been talking about.
Right. Absolutely.
And, they just did a cool thing this past week. Have you guys heard of Least of All Records in New York?
Okay,
so this is a cool concept. What they do is bands go up there and they do a live recording of songs. And they're each one is unique, like it's a single. And while they're playing it, they are directly recording it to vinyl.
Oh, wow.
So they're doing a live recording direct to vinyl.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I've heard about that.
And then you can purchase, like, the way they, this, like, you can, when you do the order, you can put in the notes what you want them to say. So, like, you can get a message out to whoever you're buying it for. And then they go into the song and it, you know, it's a one-off. There's no other recording like that one.
That's cool. It's very cool.
And they're the second group in the area that I know that's done it. I wish I could remember the other guy's name off the top of my head. I can't right now.
Yeah, I've heard about this. It's neat.
That's going to bother me because I should know who it was.
Bill, don't let it bother you, please.
All right. So What do we have time-wise? I'm going to hit you guys with one more question, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
And, John, you're sitting in the car, and it's like 40 degrees out, and your heat's not on. How bad is it in there right now?
Oh, I'm comfortable. It's cool. I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you, Bill. Thank you for your concern, buddy. You're a good-hearted dude.
You're welcome. All right. So, buy one more question. I mean, one more PA Rock Show question and then, like, two other easy questions.
Go for it.
All right. So, if you were sitting on a bench and your musical idol came and sat down next to you and said, you can ask me one question, what are you going to ask that person? And who is it?
Ooh, that's a big one too, man. Living, could it be living or dead?
You still have a DeLorean, so you can do it whichever way you want.
Oh, okay. Okay, then I'm going to just jump right on that. It's Elvis Presley. And I think for me, that question would be, when did you know you were changing the world? And what did it feel like? You know, John Lennon said the world was black and white until Elvis Presley came along. You know, when, at what moment did you know, Elvis, that you were the world had changed and you were the reason? That's my question. Pretty heavy, huh, Joe?
Yeah, man. I like
Joe's impressed. Joe didn't know how intellectually intelligent. And see, how powerful now Joe's I am.
He's got a book in front of him with all these
questions. Joe's thinking, well, see, Bill, I have a PhD, as you know, Penn Hill's diploma. So, but go ahead, Joe. Let's see if you can top that one, buddy.
I don't think I can top that one. But
well, just try.
All right. It would definitely be Paul McCartney.
Mm.
And I would ask him, I would say to him, you're always the Beatle. You're always the guy who always wanted to be a Beatle. Because if you ever notice about Paul, he seems excited all the time. And I don't think he gets where he is. Like, he's that guy who still loves it and is so passionate about it. And I want to know, how do you keep that passion alive over all these years after everything you've accomplished? Because he's just so – he's like a little kid in a candy store every time he gets on stage. So what is it that allows him to be like that? And – I always say, I don't think the man knows how brilliant he is because he's so happy and full of life. Every time he hits the stage, it's like a new experience for him.
I got to tell you that was killer, Joe. I'm impressed.
He's going to ask me for a favor when this is over. I just want you to know.
No, I'm not.
Why he's saying this.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
So I promise you guys two easy questions.
All right, let's do it.
So, first of all, yinzerchristmas.com, we need to mention that again.
Absolutely.
But
where can each of you be found online for the listeners to go check out your own work?
Absolutely. John, you will go first?
No, you go first, buddy.
Okay. You can check out thestickers.com, the stickers Facebook, and then just Google Joe Waterick. You're going to see another handsome man when you put in Joe Waterick is my son, Joey Waterick.
Hold that thought for a second. W-O-D-A-R-E-K.
Yes, W-O-D-A-R-E-K. You don't pronounce it anything like it sounds. But my son will also pop up because he's also a young singer-songwriter and very proud of him. He's doing a heck of a job, and he's on the album and will be on the live show as well. So very cool.
I want to plug Joe's son. I like his son a lot better than him, and his son is so talented and is an up-and-coming, he's a really, really terrific young man. Outstanding. JohnVento.com, NeedsHotelBand.com, NIEDS, NeedsHotelBand.com. And both of those names, John Vento and Needs Hotel, in the world of cyberspace, you know, social media and so on.
All right, so this brings up, and I know the answer, but real quick, tell us where the Needs Hotel band name came from.
It came from a place in Pittsburgh called the Needs Hotel, which was a legendary tavern in Lawrenceville that sadly closed 3 years ago, but it was in continuous business for 77 years. And I basically went there to write lyrics and ideas for songs. And when I recorded my first album on my own, I just kind of called the band, you know, the Needs Hotel Band. It was actually what Joe has done here with Yinzer Christmas, strictly studio players, never having any intention of a live performance. But, you know, it just stuck. That's where it came from. The Needs Hotel in Lawrenceville, an actual place.
With a fish sandwich, right?
With a fish sandwich, a big neon fish sandwich on the building. Yep.
Hey, guys, I want to thank you for hanging out on episode number 646 with me.
Wow, 646. Congratulations, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Don't go anywhere. I'll talk about that with you in a second, Joe. With that being said, this has been 646. You can find us each and every Friday at buildthescene.com and all those stations I mentioned poorly at the beginning because I stumbled over it. But they're all there. If you go to buildthescene.com, there's a list that shows you when the episode will be played on each of those stations. But what you're going to hear next is John the American Hill, Jack Lane, tell you how you can subscribe and leave comments and all that fun stuff. And then a couple more songs of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. And then if you're listening on one of the radio stations, don't disconnect. Just keep listening. You may find your next favorite unsigned artist.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.